This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, ahead of Lyft's highly anticipated IPO, a look at the unchecked power held by tech founders as of late. If you may have noticed, some of the biggest tech companies that have made their IPO debuts in recent years, including Facebook and Alphabet, have super voting structures that give their founders control. What could possibly go wrong? And is it a new era for tech IPOs? Diving into it all after these tech headlines. The Journal reports that iPhone shipments in China slumped far more than overall smartphone shipments there last year, costing Apple further ground against local rival Huawei Technologies in the world's biggest smartphone market. Apple's smartphone shipments in China in the past 3 months of 2018 were down 20% from a year earlier, putting a finer point on Apple's shrinking sales in China late last year. Last month, Apple CEO Tim Cook blamed declining iPhone sales in China on the economic slowdown there. That slowdown and a global trend among phone owners of upgrading less frequently contributed to a 9.7% drop in overall smartphone shipments in the quarter. Apple, now the fourth biggest vendor in China, was the country's top smartphone seller as recently as early 2015. So a quick Amazon Whole Foods check-in. Whole Foods is raising prices again. After acquiring the natural grocer in 2017, Amazon slashed prices at Whole Foods, aiming to counter its reputation for high costs. Now, pressure from consumer product makers to cover rising costs for things like packaging, ingredients, and transportation has led Whole Foods to raise prices on hundreds of products. And according to a price list reviewed by the Journal, soaps, detergent, oils, and nut butters have some of the highest increases. There are still e-commerce perks, however. Whole Foods said in a statement that it will offer hundreds to thousands of sale items daily and that they're continuing to lower the prices for all shoppers and Prime members, referring, of course, to Amazon's subscription program. Whole Foods updates the discounts for Prime members each week. However, new discounts for all customers are introduced less frequently. And just so you know, your company might want to know if you lost any weight or if you're sleeping okay. Across the U.S., more employers are handing out activity trackers and rolling out high-tech wellness programs that aim to keep closer tabs on exercise, sleep, and nutrition, and ultimately cut ballooning healthcare costs. Companies like Disney, Whole Foods, and dozens of other firms have introduced programs to reward employees for meeting certain criteria on health indicators. This includes things like weight-to-height ratio and blood pressure. As for whether the programs work, one company, Virgin Pulse, which provides a wellness program for Dow Jones, the Wall Street Journal's parent company, says employees who participate show an average of 13% reduction in annual medical and pharmaceutical costs. Coming up, ahead of Lyft's highly anticipated IPO, a look at the new club of tech entrepreneurs who stay in the driver's seat when their companies go public, looking at a possibly new world of tech IPOs after this. All eyes remain on Lyft as it is set to go public this year, and the Journal says its founders are prepping to take near-majority voting control when it does. A growing trend among tech founders to consolidate their control. Joining us now with more is Wall Street Journal reporter Maureen Farrell. Hi, Maureen.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. So what's emboldening these tech entrepreneurs lately to go this route, this young, hot tech IPO move? Why the trend in this direction lately?
Sure. So basically, until recently, there have not been a lot of companies going public, and there's been tons and tons of private capital. So entrepreneurs really have a lot of options. They don't have to go to the public market to get money. They can raise it privately. And public investors are really desperate to get their hands on a lot of fast-growing companies. The number of public companies has really decreased over the last 20-plus years. So there's not a, you know, it's a real supply and demand issue. So founders have a lot of power to put these things in place. And what they hear from bankers, lawyers, what they've seen from other IPOs is that they don't really have to pay a discount for taking more control of their company. So they're just going ahead and doing it.
Right. Well, you see the incentive there, but what kind of backlash does this method usually receive? I mean, especially you look at tech companies with too much power. It's definitely a theme that we cover on this tech podcast. And, you know, we've seen Facebook in particular stumble this year with a lack of control or perhaps too much control or whatever that means. Is this heightening the current conversation? Is that sort of looming over this conversation, this concern that giving too much power to tech entrepreneurs might not be the best thing?
Definitely. I mean, I think that's the broad broader public conversation right now. I mean, what can be done at Facebook right now? I mean, Mark Zuckerberg is the chairman. He's the CEO. He has total voting control. So I think there are real questions around it. But the bigger question is, what can and will anyone do about this? So I think Lyft is just such an interesting case study because we've seen stock indexes, for example, push back against these. So Lyft, presumably, if it goes public in this manner, which it sounds like it's planning to, and has dual class shares, it will not be eligible for inclusion on stock indices, which is a big deal in theory. I mean, they're one of they have the biggest buying power. So they won't have that. And some of their existing investors were frustrated. But it's interesting because that's still not keeping them from going ahead and consolidating their power, the founders of Lyft. Nor does it seem that it's really made much of a difference for a lot of other companies.
And it seems like this trend has no intention of stopping, despite any concerns, though, especially if we look at what's been going on the past year and what's expected to continue to happen this year.
The founder-led tech companies that came to market last year, even after this was made known by the S&P 500 and other indices that they wouldn't be included, they still were coming in. The founder-led tech companies that had the power to do so are still either putting dual-class shares in place like Lyft or just keeping their existing dual-class structures when they go public. And that one case, it does not seem to be dissuading them, nor does the public, the conversational backlash, because it doesn't seem to make a difference for investors. They're still going to buy these companies. Their boards clearly don't seem to be pushing back, or bankers, lawyers, like no one's really stopping them from doing this. Even as much as, we're all talking, and I think the public has had a lot of questions, especially, and then we saw what happened in Snap. Its stock is down roughly 50% from its IPO price, yet investors are still buying into the next company with voting control. That's not as extreme as Snap, but it's still outsized control that gives the founders much the say over everything almost.
It is an exciting time for tech IPOs. Maureen Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for the Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.